your heart beats faster and faster.
Whirling and the spirits swirl about. They sing their songs to Halloween. Come join the fun, they shout. But we do not want to go there, so we run with all our might. And oh, we will not go inside the haunted house tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is Sunday and this is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Oh, that is right. Paranormal broadcasting where we're here. Hey, wait a minute, Sean. You changed my notes again.
I threw them away.
Hey.
Hey.
I'll forget that line then.
What are you gonna? Okay, hey gang, we are back live in studio and we'll be in G&D chat room all night.
You can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
Okay, what do we do now? Oh, this is the Ghost Man, Sean B.
And this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is the Sunday, September 27th version of our little show.
The version of it.
Mm-hmm. The real one will be on later, guys.
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris. Broadcast live on Absurd Radio, KarmaCast, and Omnisound Radio, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal, Black Vault Radio Network, and the Para-X Radio Network.
Tonight's guest, she's going to take us into the nighttime, guys. Lauren Rhodes, author of Morbid Curiosity, Cures the Blues. True stories of the unusual and strange. Actually, it was true stories of something else, but it was too long, so I said unusual and strange. But actually, if I had used it, it'd probably been the same amount of time as it took for me to explain. But anyway, guys, that's tonight's guest, so get ready to rock. Let's do this G&D style.
Yes, because apparently the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
You heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I can use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this, I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you want to get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes!
Yay!
That was Bob. Bob is filling in for Jason tonight because we don't have our buddy Jason Gowan with us. He's a little under the weather and he just can't hack it, I guess.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible for him, but he has been sick. We heard that. He's been sick for like a month now, right? So
at least a week. At least a week.
Hopefully he'll pull through it, but as you guys might have noticed, the bar has been open here at the G&D studio since about 5 o'clock today. And, you know, go Colts. Colts are playing tonight, guys. Big football fan here in the G&D show.
Why you called me 1 minute before the show tonight, Sean?
Well, it could be. Actually, you guys are lucky because I'm so dedicated to this show and to our listeners around the world that I interrupted my Colts game before halftime and came down here to put on one heck of a show.
And you don't have a TV downstairs on mute to watch it?
I don't. All right. You know, something told me you would be griping. Even if I had it, you'd be like, well, I can tell the game's on. We tried that once before, remember?
All right, hold on. Let's see here.
Ooh.
That was a loud one.
That was the oops button. Oops. What's going on, everybody? Hey, I want to thank all our listeners, me and Nathan. I want to thank our listeners around the world and also here in the United States for listening to what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Thank you.
Yes, always a great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show because Sean predicts it before each show and he's a psychic, don't you know?
It's true. I do. I'm trying out my little sound thing again, man.
I see that. You are doing that. I was looking for the Colts game for you, man, so that I could see, I could give you updates on the score, but...
Well, we got to, let's give a shout-out to our listeners, because I think we got some of the chat rooms going to give us updates there.
Oh, that would be nice of them.
We got Coast to Coast in the chat room. How you doing? Kenny Biddle, the man, the legend, the myth. He's in the chat room right now. Nathan S.
Who could that be? There.
Ghost Chaser. He's out chasing ghosts, guys. The Professor is in the house. Jerry, keep us posted on the cold score, brother. Hoosier Paranormal. This is a new one, but he's a Hoosier guy, so I'm loving him. Or girl, whoever it is. But he's in the house. And then we had, like, Kissy Faces in there, and we lost just, like, four of them. They just signed off, so they must have heard my voice and ran for the hills.
I know I do every time I hear it.
I know. But I got to tell you, man, Demon Hunter, I know it's been a crazy week, but I wanted to get this out real quick. I went to the store yesterday because the Ghost Man's birthday is tomorrow.
That is right. It is tomorrow, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. Thank you. And
happy
I'm going
birthday
to, be 30...
to you. Oh, you're going to be 30 what?
I'm going to be 34 years of age.
Oh.
Tomorrow. I don't know if I was actually born like early morning or late or whatever. Mom usually tells me the whole story over, but she's not here right now. We're doing the show, and I know for a fact that I was born sometime tomorrow, guys. So I'm celebrating early, and I went to the store yesterday, Demon Hunter, and Mom and Dad came over, so I bought some steaks and I bought some chicken, put it out on the grill. But when I was in the grocery store, I won't name any names because they're not sponsoring us, so I was in there, and I went to the 10 items or less.
Okay.
Now, you know what I'm talking about, 10 items or less. Thing,
I understand,
right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you've ever seen Me, Myself, and Irene, there's a scene where a lady says, "Can I cut in front of you?" And he goes, "Yeah, sure." She had like a magazine in her hand. She cuts in front of him. Then she calls to her kids, and there's like 16 of them come with a big shopping cart full. This happened to me yesterday, guys. I kid you not. On the south side of beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana, I was at the grocery store, and a lady said, "I need to get in front of you, sir," or I was in line or something, and I didn't care. I was like, well, whatever, you know, go ahead in front of me. And she walks in front of me, and like five kids came up with a shopping cart and baskets right behind her, man. And they had, you know, Halloween candy and all kinds of stuff, and I was cracking up, man. It happened to me.
Maybe it's just me because I am such a bitter old man. But yeah. I would have looked at it and said, "Are all you getting is the magazine?" before I said yes.
Yeah. Well, I got burnt, man. Hey, but that's good karma. That's good karma for us. And what I'm pretty sure whatever good karma comes to me, it's on the show. So we both get to share it.
Does that mean the bad karma comes to me, too?
Yeah.
That's what's going on in my life, then. You're killing me here, Sean. You're killing
me. There's a poop load of that, man. You know that. We've been going through that since we've been on the air, man. I even got a crystal. I actually went to one of those metaphysical stores. Is that how you say it? Metaphysical,
yes.
Yeah.
And nobody has to take a drink there.
Nobody
has to take a drink there. Go ahead.
That's right. Well, you guys can if you want, really. But anyway, I got a little Buddha thing that you put like envelopes in or whatever. And instead of that, I put the crystal on top because I was talking to this lady at this metaphysical store. And I told her, you know, me and my friend, we got this show and, you know, we've beaten all the odds and we actually pulled one out and, you know, we love our listeners and we love doing the show and, you know, we hope all good things happen for us. And she gave me this little crystal. Now, apparently crystal is very expensive because it's not even an inch long, but she gave it to me and I put it here on the Buddha statue and it sets right in front of the microphone.
Okay.
So, booga booga. I hope it brings like good mojo to the show tonight.
Let's hope it's not like the last rocks we brought home that melted Doug from Ghostly Talk's computer and broke your garage door and brought something knocking at my door. You know, when somebody tells you that you're visiting a haunted location and don't bring a rock home, probably a good choice not to do it. It's...
You know, I was actually doing a thing for the paper that we got the show coming up and everything, and I did a little thing for the news out here, and it's not going to come up, guys, the Indianapolis Star. It'd be like a week till our show premieres. It's going to come out. But I was talking about me and you, Nate, and how we started the show, and I totally forgot that story. But, you know, that was the story that really started the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
It really did. That and my falling in the spring at Spangler Spring.
It was a good time. All I remember saying is, you know, we were doing serious ghost research out at the battlefield. And, you know, we went to the local bar and they had a couple drinks and we just clicked from there. And that was it. And there's where the story begins, guys. At an old rundown bar on some side of the battlefield in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. That's where it starts. Surrounded by ghosts.
Yeah, it's surrounded by ghosts and also surrounded by a pool that I would not have swam in if you gave me a shot of antibiotics first.
Oh my god, it was terrible, wasn't it? I think there was actually a couple drunks floating it.
Face down.
Yeah, face down when we walked around it at night. But, you know, we went there in the off season, but I imagine the rats didn't get any smaller when people were, you know, in the popular season.
The fact that they tore the entire place down right after we were there kind of tells you something.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had some stories, guys. But you know, our listeners, man, they've been there with us. They've been there since the beginning. I love these guys, Nathan. I love them. They tune in every week, and they love us so much. And we love you guys right back. And we try to put on the very best show we can for you. But it all started there. It all started in Gettysburg. I was reflecting on that.
On Gettysburg. You know what? I've been thinking of doing some writing, and I need to go down to Gettysburg to do some research. So I'm hoping after the Extreme Paranormal airs on A&E, I will get some time to go down there and check out Gettysburg. The problem being that this is the busiest month of the year for anyone who's into ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we're coming on to October. Halloween's coming up. Everybody has something they want you to do. Everybody's thinking ghost, and so everybody is thinking their house is haunted.
Absolutely,
it's just the way it happens. But this is the first time I've been invited to speak at a high school.
Well, I'll be darned.
And I've been invited to a high school to do a talk, and I'm sitting there
thinking,
been
brushing up on your fart jokes, right?
I've been writing down the ones you tell, Sean. I really have. Yeah. And I've been thinking, you know, how am I going to go into a high school and give a talk about ghost hunting when one of the first things I tell people is that people shouldn't ghost hunt until they're out of their teens?
I don't know.
But, so I don't think I'm going to be the...
Yep. I'm sure the kids will enjoy it, though, you know?
I don't think I'm going to be the popular guy there.
Well, you know what? That's where it started for a lot of us because, you know, one tends to reflect when their birthday's coming up, as I did this weekend, guys. It's been a beautiful weekend, by the way, here in Indianapolis. And, you know, it's one of them fall, kind of early October days where the leaves are starting to fall and the shadows get a little longer in the evening time. And I was carrying around the ghost baby today, and we had her here in the house, and we were just talking and walking around, and I started thinking about, like I said before, all the stories of how we started the show and what we've done so far, and heck, what we might do in the future, who knows, but, you know, it's just been a great ride, guys, and having you guys here and me and Nathan doing this, I mean, if we ever sit down and wrote a book, guys, from what me and Nathan had been through while doing this show has been like a savior sometimes to me.
It has to me, too, and it's given me a reason to go out every week and buy cigars.
There you go. Did you buy one this week?
I did. I am smoking a it's an unusual kind of cigar. It's what they call a Senorita. It's from Ashton. They come in boxes of 10, and you don't have to put them in the humidor. But it's a nice little cigar, and I'm enjoying it. And went down to Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut, and picked it up.
Butthead's!
So, very good. By the way, Sean, Colts 21, Arizona 10. So
There you go. I know they were creeping back. The Colts were dominating for the first half, but, you know, they're creeping back in there. But, you know, it's a good – I love football season, man. I love this time of year. I mean, the ghost hunters, man, they're in a frenzy. Everybody's trying to – I was going to tell you about this. I went past an old cemetery here in Indianapolis. It's the goodness, I forget the name now. It's Holy Cross St. Joe's. Holy Cross St. Joseph Cemetery, and I went past there the other day, Nathan, and I actually had my recorder in my car, and I thought about going out there. I didn't get to do it, but I do look forward to doing that in a while. I haven't had a chance just to go out to the cemetery and do EVP, and that's where it all started for me, man.
It did, but I got to tell you, between doing the weekly radio show, your weekend's shot because you have to be home by 10 o'clock on Sunday night to do the show.
You have to be drinking by at least 7.
At least 7 o'clock. We're out filming for the TV show for a month at a time. And then we, you know, when we're not doing that, we're doing conferences. And if you get lucky enough to get a case in, that dominates a lot of your time with going over evidence. So, I mean, getting to go out and just ghost hunting for fun just doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't. But, you know what, we can make time to do that.
We've got to make more time for it.
We do. But, you know, it, Well, I forget what I was going to say now. That's bad for radio. But we were talking about EVPs and stuff in Gettysburg, and I just wanted to go back to – I was going through our EVP files, and I actually have an old recorder that I didn't know I still had, and I brought it out of the box today, and I still have that original recording that we got at Barlow's Knoll, where it said, help me.
I remember.
It sounds like, help me. I still got it on tape. It was amazing. I never erased those files. I guess you guys know how I review my stuff now.
Now, do you think that do you think that help me and get out and things like that are kind of like SOS, that ghosts only can get certain signals out sometimes? Because I get a lot of help me EVPs.
You know, that tends to happen. I think a lot of people, though, they misinterpret. I think sometimes the spirit or whatever it is saying something different, but you only get a little piece of it. You know what I mean?
True.
Like a lot of people, you'll get something to go, where's he? And they'll say, oh my God, it said help me. You know, and we you really don't know that because, you know, that's a Class C EVP or whatever.
And you slow it down, you clean it up, and you find out later it was saying, you know, wash my car, you know?
Right. Or given the Gettysburg address or whatever. Yeah. You know, that's a funny thing, too, because a lot of people, man, a lot of investigators, when you look for EVPs, you know, you get so in tune to that, Nathan, you know you're starting to look for that help me or that, you know, whatever. And sometimes these spirits, guys, you got to remember, the dead aren't just from the past. They're from the present, too. So you get a lot of people out there, a lot of spirits. I've been cussed out by some pretty modern cuss words, you know what I mean? I mean, stuff I don't want my kids to say, but stuff that's out there. To this day, I've had spirits say that to me. I've had rotten hell. That was one of the big ones that I had. And it just, you know, you get all kinds, man. You get all kinds. But I did want to say we did make an announcement last week, guys, that Nathan and I and Jason Gowan would be attending the Chicago Ghost Conference in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, with Mike McDowell and all those guys from Indiana Ghost Trackers. And, guys, unfortunately, we cannot make that. Very sad. Me and Nathan was looking so forward to going to that, and Jason. And unfortunately, we have some stuff that we got to do, and we just found out about it. And they're making us go there. So
and we can only apologize, like, to the hilt that we really wanted to be out there. We really think everybody should get out there who can check it out. And then log on to our forums and tell us what you thought of the conference, because we're going to miss it, and we're really disappointed that we're missing it.
We are, guys. We're not like a lot of, you know, there's some people out there that cancel to last minute or whatever, you know, and we never wanted to become those guys. But unfortunately, wires just got crossed this time, and we had to, I apologize to Wanda Sputnik. She's putting a thing together out there. I couldn't tell her how sorry we were because, you know, that was going to be a fun weekend for me and you.
Yeah, we haven't gotten together, except for doing the TV show, we haven't gotten together once this year to do a conference or anything. And this was going to be our first one of the year, and we had put all the other conferences off.
You know, and I don't get to go out and do that many conferences. Nathan does a lot more than I do, and he always tells me a lot of fans of the show come up and say how great a show we got and how much you guys love us. I wanted to get out there and actually get one of you guys to come up and say, hey, man, I love your show. You know, it keeps me company on Sunday nights, because that means a lot to me, man. You know, I'm a dad just like a lot of these people or whatever, and I'm a blue-collar ghost hunter, me and Nathan are, and it means a lot to us, me and Nathan both, that you guys say that, you know, you love the show and that we mean something to you guys, because you mean something to us. You mean a lot to us. So,
and we're really, really disappointed we won't be there. We can only say, you know, get out to Chicago, go to the conference, tell them that the Ghostman and Demon Hunter sent you. And we love the conference. We love the people. We love you guys. We just, you know, can't say enough how we wanted to do that, but just couldn't.
Well, what are you going to do? But hey, we got a story out of here. We got a couple stories, Nathan.
Well, let's listen to some stories.
Well, let's do some stories. This one comes out of the Weekly World News. I had to pull it off of line, but it's actually a true story. I researched it. It says, would you believe sex change in roosters? This is true. It says, with a bit of genetic wizardry, scientists are turning roosters into hens. Once researchers identified the key gene that determines sex in birds, the gender reversal was achieved by reducing the level of gene in chicken embryos, which changed the testes into ovaries before the chick hatched. This is a major advance in our understanding of sex determination in birds and also provides insights into how the process has evolved from birds to mammals. Says Dr. Craig Smith of the University of Melbourne, the technology could also provide important information about human disease genes, and they look forward to testing this on a human in the future. So,
yeah, you know, that just kind of reminds me of the Jurassic Park bit where they were making sure all that the dinosaurs were born as females, because aren't chickens supposedly the descendants of T-Rexes?
I think so. But you know what? We got Kenny Biddle out there, and Kenny, this is your chance. This guy's doing the research right now at the University of Melbourne. Dr. Craig Smith, give him a line. He might be able to do what you want there.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghost Man Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I just didn't want Kenny to come and beat me up. So.
Right. He's a burly man.
He is. I heard he took Jason Gowen down wrestling move, so
I don't know. I heard Jason threw a WWF spike or spear. He speared him. That's what I heard. He speared him. These guys have been doing WWF moves at conferences, apparently. And it's another thing we're going to miss, but you know, hopefully we'll be able to do one this year before the year's out. I mean, I know it's coming to a close, guys. We're getting close to it, but hopefully you'll be able to see us at a conference this year.
At least one. Come on. I know I'm going down, as far as I know, to North Carolina for the Phantom Con, but you won't be able to come to that one, Sean. So, I mean, it's another one where we're split up, and, you know, I love doing conferences with Sean. Because I get to run around and say, calm down, Sean, calm down.
Well, usually I don't need to calm down that much. Usually you're saying sober up.
I didn't want to say that, but okay. So any other news we got there, Sean?
Yeah, we got all kinds of news tonight, guys. And, you know, because here at the G&D show, we put you guys first, we always – scan the universe for the best stories, and they usually come out of the Sun newspaper.
Best reporting in the universe.
Yeah, with, you know, top stories like 100 prophecies, predictions that will come true this year. That's something I'm going to have to get into either this show or the next show we'll talk about. But anyway, we're looking into the future with this story, guys, and it's got a picture of this hot Chinese chick petting this robot dog. Okay? It says, the robot revolution has begun. It says, within a decade or so, a robot will be playing a big role in your life. That means you, Nathan. Predicts one of the world's most prestigious technology organizations. A report issued by the Royal Academy of Engineering in England states that by 2020 or so, robot pets, surgeons and robot pets, surgeons and babysitters will be robotic and will be commonplace. A pet robot may lack a little when it comes to warm and fuzzies, but it will react to voice commands and seek out your company. It will have sensors and alarms to alert other people if you get sick or fall down. A full robot surgeon performed a kidney transplant last June, and the thinking machines are poised to take over operation rooms worldwide. They have 3D ultrasound and video cameras to guide their artificial healing hands. Mechanical babysitters are already on sale in Japan. They can recognize faces and make conversation. Now, future models will be able to teach your children basic school subjects and contact you at the first sign of trouble on the home front.
Now, see, I have two comments with this. One, we may have just found a way to finally bring down the cost of medical care in America with robot surgeons. And two, if you have a robot dog, do you have to take him out for a walk with a little plastic bag to pick up his oil?
I don't know. He's got to do something. He's got to let it go sometime,
I guess.
So... Yeah, but I thought that's kind of creepy, man. Would you, honestly, guys, would you feel comfortable leaving your kid with a robot?
I wouldn't feel comfortable leaving you with a robot for fear what you do with it.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of creepy to me, man. The robot thing, you know, how far are we going to go with this?
Thank you for purchasing the Sitter 2000.
Yeah.
You are now the proud owner of it.
And surgeons. Surgeons. You know, before, at least you can have a consult with your doctor. You say, listen, we're going to do this, you know, and you won't have that in the future. Just a robot would be like, yeah, I'm going to take your heart out and put a new one in. Everything will be great.
When you're done, you might have a slight craving to go destroy the human race, but it's okay. That's true.
It's kind of like, what was that when all the chicks, the guys were married to these high-powered women, they took them to the Stepford Wives.
Well, the original one, it was the men were, even in the remake, they were high-powered men who were making the perfect wife.
Right.
And, they would be, they'd be the, what do they say, the homemaker in the kitchen and the hooker in the bedroom.
So, right. Do we ever wonder why most of our listeners are male?
Actually, Sean, you would be surprised to know that over 64% of our listeners are female.
What? You did the numbers on that?
I did the numbers on that.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. I can't believe that. Well, hello, ladies.
They're one-time listeners.
Yeah, we take a lot of heat, guys, but you know what? We'll never change. We'll be the exact same thing every Sunday. I don't know if that brings you down or not.
It depends on how much we had to drink from 7 to 10, Sean. But
That's true. Which is a lot. You know, Miller High Life can do wonders, man. It's the champagne of beer. But I got another story, guys.
We got time for one more, Sean. Give us one more story.
Oh, I'm going to give you 20 more, and you're going to take it. No, but I got one more. Test tube brains cross line between human and machine, guys. Scientists at the Georgia Institute of Technology have created a living brain in a laboratory dish that can interact with its environment, learn, and even have a sense of itself as a conscious entity. Researcher Steve Potter has taken a bunch of rat brain cells and allowed them to grow on a plate of electrodes. The hybrid biological electronic brain. Boy, I'm really pulling off these big words tonight. You guys drink anyway, but
just don't drive.
Don't drive, guys. The hybrid biological electronic brain is connected to a robot, and the two devices communicate with each other. Sensors on the robot send information about the environment to the artificial brain, which then sends signals to the robot telling it what to do. So far, the brain has been able to tell the robot how to move around obstacles, avoid other robots that are chasing it, and even doodle with a pen.
So now we're looking at surrogates being a real life story.
Right. I can't even doodle myself with my brain half the time, you know? A process that some say is close to creating art, but the most significant fact is that for the first time, the lab created brains are aware of themselves and can benefit from experience just like developing human brains in children. We're studying the basic mechanism of learning and memory, Potter says. He adds that the brains have some sense of what's going on in themselves. And he hopes to enhance that sense of self-consciousness in the future research. The immediate goal of the project is not to create a Frankenstein's monster, but to find out how the brain works, a major step toward developing learning strategies and cures for the Alzheimer's and other mental disorders. So there you go, guys. Those are the top stories this week.
The brain was named Abby something.
Abby Normal. That was Young Frankenstein. That was a classic, man.
Hey, man, why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we'll have our guest for this evening.
Absolutely, guys. Stay tuned. Hold on to your drinks. Drink up, whatever. Lauren Rhodes joins us right now after this break, author of Morbid Curiosity Cures for the Blues. So stay tuned. We love you guys.
Experience the charm and mystery of the Deep South through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sights you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
Hey, all you ghost hunters and paranormal enthusiasts, this is Ursula Bielski of Chicago Hauntings. Please join us October 2nd and 3rd for a weekend you will not want to miss. Myself will be with Mike McDowell and the Indiana Ghost Trackers as we embark on our second Chicago Ghost Conference. Our great guests will include demonologist and psychic Lorraine Warren from Paranormal State, authors Jeff Belanger, Joshua Warren, Frederick Stonehouse, and Wanda Lou Willis. Also appearing will be Deborah and Tony Pickman from the Sally House, Ray and Paul from Dark Angel Paranormal, Ghostly Talk Radio, Brian Loeffler from Shadow Talk, independent filmmaker Dan Hall, and William Konkoleski from the Michigan chapter of the Mutual UFO Network. Joining us all the way from England will be Eddie Brazil to talk about 150 years of research into the most haunted house in England, Borley Rectory. Tickets are limited. Reserve yours now at chicagohauntings.com or call 1-800-GHOST-91. This is an event not to be missed, with lots of after-hours events to round out your weekend. Thanks so much. Don't forget to join us and have a haunted day in Chicago.
Welcome to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. Get your weekly download to all things ghostly and paranormal, and then some. Test your knowledge of the paranormal with haunted trivia. Email your otherworldly experiences for Parashare and listen in to the rants and useless banter of Laura and Brian. If they've got an opinion on the paranormal,
or even a great pub,
they'll talk about it. The Deadline can be easily downloaded from the njghs.net website. You can also listen to archive shows at podcastalley.com. Say, while at Podcast Alley, cast a vote for The Deadline, because everyone knows that at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.
Halloween is coming fast, and so is the 2009 Phantom Con in Hickory, North Carolina, October 16th through the 18th. Phantom Con will be the only host of the 2009 Haunted Survivors Tour. Guests include Shannon Sylvia of Ghost Hunters International, Jeff Sylvia of Up for Discussion, Jan Pierce, Stephen LaChance, and Denise Jones of the Haunted Survivors Tour. Psychic medium to the stars, Lizzie Starr. Author and psychic, Katie Boyd. And psychic investigator, Jackie Carpenter. Also, Jason Gowan and Nathan Schoonover of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Tickets start at $20 for one day and $35 for the two-day event, October 16th and 17th. There will also be an evening ghost hunt and a special Sunday event, October 18th, both with limited seating. Discover more about the paranormal and the 2009 Phantom Con at www.phantomcon.com.
This is Bishop James Long with the United States Old Catholic Church, and you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Make sure you tune in every single week, because the bishop said so. All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, and we're back, Sean.
We are back. I can't believe we're still doing. I can't believe one of us haven't gone to the hospital with our schedule around doing the show and filming. And oh my gosh, man, I don't know if I'm coming or going anymore.
I'm pretty sure you're going. Yeah, because I've shared a hotel room with you and heard you in the other room when you. Never mind. now we're going blue with the show. We just shouldn't do that. We should introduce our guest.
Just like the Colts. The Colts are still winning, by the way, guys. That's your update for the night. But tonight's guest, we got author of Morbid Curiosity Cures the Blues, Lauren Rhodes. Lauren, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm having a good time.
Well, get ready to ruin that, because you're here with us. And oh, Lauren, you know what? We got your information and we heard all about you. We said we got to get this person on the show. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what Morbid Curiosity Cures the Blues is?
All right. It started out as a magazine in the mid-90s, and I published 10 issues of that and killed it off in 2006. Almost immediately, there was this huge outcry. The early issues were out of print, and people wanted to complete their collections and all of that. So I started looking around for a publisher, got picked up by Scribner. And the book is 40 essays from the magazine, kind of leans toward the early stuff that's out of print, but they're my favorite stories that I felt like people really needed to have access to.
Now, Lauren, is there any dirty pictures in your book? That's why
I
need to. I'm buying it right now. I'm going to purchase it right now.
Leave it to Sean. Leave it to Sean.
Well, I got to do something. Got to do something. But anyway, you got this book, Morbid Curiosities Cures the Blues. And it's true stories of what? What was the rest of that? I put unusual and strange.
Yeah, we went around and around with the subtitle because how do you sum this thing up? But they settled on true stories of the unsavory, unwise, unorthodox, and unusual.
And yeah, we could have used that same one for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, Sean.
Yeah, we could have.
There you go.
That could be our life wrapped up in one book right there, man. But can you tell us some of what it is? I mean, some of the not the stories, of course, but...
Oh, it's a really wide gamut. Starts out with an essay about childhood art projects and how that's informed the artist's entire life. So kind of the mundane, and then we get into, there's a UFO abduction story, some ghost stories, a necrophilia story, and...
well, there you go, Nathan.
Runs the gamut.
Right. Now, I got to see some of the pictures on the Morbid Curiosities website where you have the book trailer. And... I was wondering, like, there's a lot of pictures in there that almost look like urban exploring, a lot of pictures that are obviously older kind of sketches from, it looks Victorian. Did you have a certain aim, someplace you wanted to go with this book, and it just became, you know, this incredible collection of all this different stuff? Or is this what you really set out to do, to give everybody a little bit of everything?
Well, in the beginning... All I knew is I wanted it to be nonfiction. I didn't know. It took me a couple of issues to settle into the straight first-person true story sort of thing. You know, the early issues had interviews and nonfiction and, you know, articles. And I found what I really, really liked was to hear what people had to say about their own lives. And so I never wish a morbid curiosity experience on anybody, but I'm always glad to hear about them if somebody's had one.
Well, what a great way to spend a Saturday night. It's so obviously this, you don't expect this to be like grade school reading anytime soon. This is a book for adults. It's I wouldn't compare it to like The Faces of Death, but there's definitely some stuff in this book that the pictures freaked me a little bit out when I was looking at
really?
It. You know, there's only one thing. Sean and I have joked about this several times. There's only one thing that scares me, and it's trolls. I cannot watch the movie Troll. I cannot watch the old movie Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Or the Billy Goat's Gruff.
The Billy Goat's Gruff is where it all started, you know, as a little kid. My brother locked me in a basement, told me the trolls were down there. You know, I don't blame him for it. We were kids, but that was the beginning of my fear of trolls. But there were some pictures in here that were very, like, almost trollish or gargoylish and...
Actually, I locked you down in the basement last time we saw each other, so that...
And I appreciate that, Sean. Thank you for bringing out all those bad memories. Why don't you just give me a paper cut and rub some lemon juice in it while you're at it?
Oh, that sounds fun. That sounds good. But you know what, Lauren? You got to cover all these stories. Now, did you interview these people? I mean, like necrophiliast, no?
No, I let them confess. But really, you got to let people confess. So I just... put the word out that I was looking for stuff, and people crawled out of the woodwork to tell me their stories.
Well, you know, a couple of beers, you can get Sean to confess to some stuff he's probably never even done. So...
I look forward to that.
We could write a whole book, Lauren, let me tell you. But, you know, you got into this. Now, usually when somebody gets into this kind of a book or something like that, they've had some kind of experience as a child. Did you have any experiences with the paranormal or anything like that growing up?
Oh, you know, we did. We were farm girls, so we did the whole, light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Oh, yeah, that works. That was,
it worked for us. And seances and all of that. I had a cousin who was a year younger than me who died as an infant. And so I was really interested in, you know, was she still around? Could we communicate? Was she my guardian angel or whatever? And I grew up down the road from the cemetery where she's born, or where she was buried. So my whole family is down there now. So, you know, we were back and forth to the cemetery all the time. So, yes, scarred. I was a farm girl. growing on a farm.
You know, my mother, she grew up a farm girl here in Indianapolis. Now it's all city, of course. But when they grew up in this big old farmhouse, I mean, she had ghost stories galore. I don't know if it was just because you farm girls, it was mandatory that you had to have these ghost stories. But, I mean, everybody I've ever talked to lived on a farm has always had the best ghost stories.
It's dark out there in the country.
It really is. I'm a farm boy, too, and it's just one of those things where I remember when my mother went back to work, I was probably around 8 years old, and during the winter, my parents didn't get back till around 8 o'clock at night from work, 8, 9 o'clock, and it's pitch black out there, and you hear things.
It's been dark for hours.
Oh, yeah. You just you sit there, and you watch out the window, and back then, I wasn't allowed to watch TV past 6 o'clock, so, you know, you'd leave the TV on as long as you could and turn it off just as they were pulling in, but that tube would not cool down in time, and they'd walk in and see that little dot in the center of the TV and know that you had been watching TV. So you couldn't tell them. I was afraid.
Watching Skinamax, that was the problem.
Oh, please, Sean, I had 5 channels, and all of them were fuzzy. But
hey, man, me and you both. Dad didn't believe in technology. We had the bunny rabbit ears on top of the TV, the floor model, and that was how we rolled. But you know what, Lauren? I'm going to tell you the story. I'm going to tell you and the listeners real quick. My mom, when she lived out in this farmhouse, they would all sleep together. So there was like 22 kids or whatever. I don't know. My grandma and grandpa were crazy, and they had all these kids. And all the girls would sleep in like one bed. So it was like 5 to a bed or whatever. And they all slept together, and they said at night they would hear the train come out back because I guess the railroad tracks weren't too far, and they would get up after the train. And Mom said they'll never forget the night. Her and a couple other of her sisters got up, they went out back, and they seen the lady in a white dress. Now, she admits to this very day. A lady in a white dress, and the story was is that on her wedding night, now I know we've all heard this, right? On her wedding night, she was distraught about something. She went out walking on the railroad tracks and got hit by the train, and it drug her body, and she died. Mm-hmm. And the thing about this is they would see the lady in white every other night when the train would pass by. And the dog, Charcoal, would bark his butt off at this entity, this thing. So she said, you know, they never had the nerve to go down there and see it, but they would see this ghostly, glowing white girl, and the dog would just go crazy about it.
Oh, I just love stories like that.
Don't you love them? See, I love stuff like that. That is what October means to me. Those stories right there. I love it. I grew up on that stuff.
Now,
well, this house I'm in now is haunted. When we moved in, we knew it had only had one owner. It was built in 1940, and she basically grew old and died in the house. And we moved in January. My husband was in a band. He was traveling a lot, so they were just all these weird things. You know, we'd hear footsteps up and down the hall. And one night while he was gone, I got up in the morning, and there was this weird flickering light. And so I assume it's kind of a rough neighborhood. There were cops on the street or something. So I looked out the window, and there's nothing there. Right. And I turn around, and it's in the back of the house. So I go to the back of the house, and it's still this flick, flick, flick with the light, thinking, well, maybe there's helicopters going overhead. And no, yeah. It was behind me in the room. The TV was coming on, just flicking on, and it kind of, the line would zip across the screen and make this weird pattern, and then it'd go to the white dot. So
wow.
I thought, well, maybe somebody left it on. How could that happen? So I reached out and hit the button, and the power came on. The TV had been off. And so I just... things went wild from that point on. The lights would get real bright, and then they'd dim. And I was sitting in, we have an atrium in the center of the house, sitting in the breakfast nook looking at the bookshelves and watching the books just kind of waterfall one after another right off the bookshelf.
Now,
so
Lauren,
out of control.
Like, would you?
I finally sat down and had a talk with her, and I'm like, you know, you can stay. This is your house, but... if you scare me, you continue to scare me like this, I will haul an exorcist in here and have
beat
thrown
it
out.
Now, when we talk morbid curiosities, like, would you consider people who collect those photos of what would you call them, the old Victorian death photos of like children? Mm-hmm. Is that like the beginning of a morbid curiosity, or is that a full on morbid curiosity?
You know, I worked my way around to that. I saw Sleeping Beauties in a bookstore I think it was in Ann Arbor, you know, when it first came out, and was thoroughly scarred by seeing the dead baby pictures. And then, you know, 10 years of putting the magazine together, I'm buying those dead baby pictures over the internet. So.
Right. But aren't those terrible, those pictures? Like, I believe if you've seen A Haunting in Connecticut, the one that just came out here last past year, at the very beginning, they go through all these pictures of the back in the old days where they would set these dead cats up in a chair and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They would make them look like they were still alive. Man, is that not the creepiest thing you've ever seen?
Well, a lot of those people, you know, that was the only photo they ever had of them. And so, you know, if you were going to remember them, that was it. But yeah, I don't know.
You know what? There's a lot of pictures of me sleeping that if you changed over to black and white with a little sepia, you'd think it was one of those photos. So.
And what does that say?
I don't know. But, you know, I remember years ago watching Rod Sterling do a talk about he was giving a talk to people who were taking a writer's course because he ran a whole writing college. And he told people that an idea is the easiest thing to come up with. Turning it into a story takes talent.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you always hear people say, I have an idea for a book. I have an idea for a book. But really turning it into a story that people can sit down and read and follow with you takes some talent. What was the start of your idea to actually even start this magazine? And what turned it into you saying, you know what, I should put this stuff out there if it's morbid curiosities?
Well, when we first moved to San Francisco, this was 88 or so, we went to a slideshow that Research was doing, Research Books, and it was all home slides of, you know, Vail and Burroughs and Vail and Ginsberg and stuff like that. And at the end of the slide talk, he said they were looking for volunteers to help them. They had a new book coming out, and they needed basically monkeys to, you know, lift boxes and pack orders and stuff. So my husband volunteered us, and the book turned out to be Modern Primitives. So at that point, I was, you know, not too many years off the farm. I'd never seen anything like that before. And I thought, you know, it was just two people putting this book together in their back room. I could do that. I was a journalist by training, and, you know, okay, if what you're interested in is true morbid stories, how do you get those in the mail? So, you know, everybody was doing a zine back at that point. So,
you know, how do you explain to mom and dad that this is what you're doing now when you first started? And
well, you know, my mom is to the point now where she researches graveyards, and when I come home to visit, you know, she's got a list of where everybody's buried. Can we run around the state and go see? So she's completely on board. My dad's not too sure. He wants his friends to know.
Hey, we've got the TV show coming out in another, like, 3 weeks on October 19th. I told my mom not to watch. Everybody else should watch, but I told my mom not to. It's,
See, that was the thing with me, Nathan. Dad was over here the other day to celebrate my birthday, and he was talking about, you know, the news story that I'm going to do that's going to come out the week before our show. And you know, I said, Dad, I mentioned you. I mentioned you and Mom and how we grew up in that house on the south side of Indianapolis that was, you know, a very active home. And he just kind of looked at me and went, oh, you know, because he knew. My dad, he went from nothing to super Baptist overnight. Way back in the day, and they just didn't believe in ghosts. But so much stuff had happened that he actually brought in a preacher to bless the house. He brought in a couple of them to bless the house, just to be safe, you know? And I still joke with him to this day, and stuff like that, getting to put Dad's name in the newspaper. he kind of gets freaked out about it, but, you know, he knows stuff happened in that house, and he couldn't explain it, and that's what it is, man.
Now, when you go out to these places, you say you get people to confess. Like, Sean and I, my whole job is to come out here every night and bare our souls and, you know, tell people the weirdest stuff that happens to us. You know, I've had to tell people about growing up in a house and seeing an old man and woman walk into my room at night and start fighting. You know, I wasn't allowed to tell my parents about it because they didn't want to hear about it, but that was part of my life.
I thought that was your parents.
No, they fought in the other room. They thought I couldn't hear. Anyway, so here I am going through this. I'm not allowed to talk about it. Years later, took a lot to make me feel like I could talk about that. What brought you to get? What helps you bring it out of people so they can confess? Do they just want to, or is it like something you have to do to get it started?
Oh, I think it was like a snowball's effect. You know, when one person confesses, it's easier for the next person to do it. And, you know, it wasn't just getting the stories for the book, but or for the magazines. We'd do live events, and people would get up and read these things in public, and I would think, do you really want people to know that about you?
Right.
But, you know, it made it a really safe environment that, that everybody has done something that they can't quite make sense of. And,
well, we all have a morbid side. I mean, I know yeah. I was very disappointed. I had to turn down a beautiful apartment that I wanted desperately, but I had to turn it down because the smell of flowers was too strong, and that's because it was in a funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted this apartment, and everybody thought I was crazy to want to live in a funeral home. You know, the washer and dryer was right across from the embalming room, you know, but that didn't bother me because I loved the place. I loved the house. I loved the atmosphere of it. And when they said, well, we're glad you didn't take it, what changed your mind? I said, well, the flowers were too, the perfume from the flowers was too strong. They just thought I was insane. So it's...
Well, they probably don't even smell that anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
if you that's... had a strong sense of smell, you don't work at a funeral home.
Yeah, well.
The theory I have.
No doubt. Hey, Lauren, I got to ask you one thing, though. You know, being as a paranormal investigator like me and Nathan are, I mean, we've dealt with a lot of people that live with hauntings every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it still amazes me to that day. What's it feel like to you living inside an active haunted house? How do you feel living with this entity?
You know, she's quiet most of the year now, and it's pretty much just in January where things are crazy, and she stopped scaring me. Things will move and doors will open and stuff like that, but there's not, you know, footsteps up and down the hallway, and the electrical stuff is thankfully settled down. So I don't know, it doesn't bother me. I feel like she's kind of a guardian angel, keeps an eye on my daughter, and you know, but it's safe. It's cozy now.
So since you had this talk with the ghost, you said, remember you said you had a heart-to-heart with her. Do you believe ghosts exist on the same plane as us, or do they exist in like a different kind of plane that just kind of meshes with ours?
I don't really know. I mean, I've seen ghosts a couple of times, but each experience has been so different that I don't know. I don't have enough data to make a theory.
Right.
Well, that's okay. I hate theories anyway. You know, with the book, you know, you had the magazine. It goes into the book. Are they similar stories in the magazine, or did you go out and find all new stuff for the book?
No, the book is taken straight from the magazine.
Now, with that, what are a few of your favorite, you know, examples of morbid tales that people can find in this book?
Oh, well, I'll just crack the copy open and see.
crack it open.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. One of my favorites is called The Road of Life by Simon Wood. And Simon was working full-time, going to school full-time, and, you know, basically burning a candle at both ends, racing around when a bicyclist jogged into his path and he hit him with his car. And the story is, I mean, it goes through all the things that would go through your mind when you've had an accident like that. You know, oh, my God, did it really happen? Was it my fault? Can I get away? You know, or what? And Simon stopped and dealt with it. And it's just heartbreaking to read it. You think about this poor kid on his bike. But it's one of those stories that every time he reads it live, there's just a collective intake of breath. Everybody sits back and thinks about, okay, the things that have happened in their lives that, you know, could have put them on a completely different path. I love that story.
Now, where's the morbid in that? What happened?
You don't see the morbid in that one.
I don't see it. Is there something wrong with me? Am I... I think he was a good guy. He stopped and checked it out. I mean, if he had stopped to say, wow, I just hit somebody, let's see what the body looks like, that yeah. would have been morbid. This sounds like a good guy to me that would stop.
Well, you know, morbid is a sliding scale, right?
When I hit a kid, I get out and yell at him to tell him to run away. You know, it's... How dare you hit the front of my car with your bicycle?
You know, one of my other favorites. I got to tell you about this one. William Selby was driving in his car when he was T-boned by this truck full of roadkill. And he describes it as kind of like tribbles falling through the sunroof, you know, just these flattened fauna dropping in on him. And the guy driving the truck is something like a demon from hell. He was in an industrial accident and burned half his face off. It's just the most wonderful story.
Wow.
You know, I wish I'd known when you were writing this book because, you know, one of my jobs in life used to be to crawl into an old animal incinerator and clean it out. Ooh. And, you know, whenever there was roadkill or the labs had gotten done with animals and testing on them, they sent them here to have them burned. And my job was to crawl into the incinerator and clean it out when it was done. And
isn't it amazing the things we'll do for money?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't think it was that bad. Again, there's something wrong with me. You know, where are people going to be able to find this book? Where should they go looking for it? Because I know I want it.
It should be everywhere. Scribner's pretty much got them coast to coast, as far as I know. The release date is Tuesday, the 29th. But
so,
from what I hear, they're already on the stands.
Ooh.
There you go.
So it's
there
a good Halloween kind of book to sit around the fire. And, you know, here's a little morbid story for you. My friends and I, every October, we get together and we meet at the cemetery at night for cocktails.
Oh, that's great.
You know, so maybe I'll have to pick up a copy of Morbid Curiosities and we can sit around up at the cemetery and have our cocktails and cigars and read a few excerpts from Morbid Curiosities.
Oh, that'd be excellent.
You know, here's something, guys, I just wanted to say real quick. I got a three-month-old daughter. She's very beautiful. And she's here in the house, and I always wondered, you know, because she looks at the walls and she looks at the ceilings, you know, and my mom always said she's staring at angels. So I looked it up online today, and I found out that 60% of the population believe that children can see spirits, and then I started looking in more into that, and a lady had asked on one of the chat rooms, well, if the children can see spirits, why can't I? And the lady said, because the kids can pick up on a lot of things, like the beams of sunlight coming through the window or the shadow of a falling leaf in October. And she asked her, when's the last time you had time to check those things out? And the lady was totally puzzled. She said, I haven't. I'm in between work and life. I never have time. And she said, that is why kids can see the dead.
Well, even you go into the fact that as you grow older, the amount of light taken in your eye that your brain reads as and sees reduces because your brain says, over time your brain just says, I don't need that, and it starts to learn not to notice things,
right.
And your sense of hearing actually changes to where you can't hear certain sounds,
right. But her theory is that us as adults, we build these filters in our minds that filter out all this stuff. And, you know, we always wonder, why can't I see this ghost if the ghost is here or whatever? Well, because since we were, you know, 13, 14 years old, we've been taught, or actually 2 or 3 years old, we've been taught to have these filters and block out these strange and unusual. You know what I mean?
Which is just the opposite of our show.
People don't want to see something that's, if they can't figure out what it is, they tell themselves they didn't see it or they imagined it or whatever. They will find a niche to fit it into. No,
it's a magic place, Lauren.
Yeah.
Well, folks, if you want to check out Morbid Curiosities, Cures the Blues, True Stories of the, let me see if I can get this, unsavory, unwise, unorthodox, and unusual, be sure to check it out. You can find the website at is this the only website? chaarnel.com/morbidcuriosities/morbid.
Yeah.
.html. If you haven't trouble finding that, come to ghostmanandemonhunter.com, or I'm sorry, ghostanddemon.com. Right now, the link is on our homepage, and of course, when this is all done and up on the website, you can always go to our past guests and find it under Laura's name, because we want you to get this book, because quite frankly, I think it's fascinating. And
Me too.
There, I'm sure there's people out there who are going to look at it and go, yeah, I have the magazines. So there. But, you know, when Charles Dickens first wrote Pickwick Papers, he wrote it in a little series books, the first paperbacks. And when people got done with them, he paid them to turn them back in so that he could rip the covers off of them, put them together, and then bind them. So he just resold the same books again in a hardcover binding. So it was...
Darn, I should have thought of that.
See that?
Yeah, no doubt. Way to make money.
You should have just bought back the magazines there, Laura. But you know what? Go out, buy Morbid Curiosities, Laura. Is there anything you want to tell us about the books that people should look for, be ready for? Are you going to be out at any signings? Are you going to be?
Oh yeah.
Give us some signing dates and places.
This weekend. Doing three things, but the highlight for me is the Museum of Death has a little gallery space, and so I've curated an art show of original pieces from the book and the magazine that's going to hang in the Museum of Death, and I just think that's so cool.
Isn't there like a Museum of Sorrow, too, or something?
Oh, is there? I'll have to look for that.
I'll have to find that for you, because I know Chrissy P., who is one of our journalists for the show, she's got something in the Museum of Sorrow, I believe it is. So.
Oh, wow.
I'll get that information. If I'm wrong, folks, I'll give you an update on that next week. But, yeah, it's definitely worth going out, checking out. I feel like there's so much more we could hit on this, and we're not just getting the chance to talk about it tonight because we only have a half an hour. But
That's it.
Well, I might have to come back sometime.
You will definitely have to come back. Be sure to let us know when your tours are going to be and where people can find you. And that's what it's all about at the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, making sure we get this information out to everybody out there.
The place to look is booktour.com.
Booktour.com.
And my whole schedule is on there.
So. Booktour.com, everybody. Place to be.
So, Sean, what do you say? Laura, would you hang on the line with us for a little bit here?
Sure.
All right, Sean, I guess it's that time. An hour just goes fast, so fast anymore. We got to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Absolutely, and I want to thank Lauren Rhodes for being our guest tonight. She is awesome. She's smoking. I can't wait to read her book. And I tell you what, guys, this planet is a strange and unusual planet, but it's a great place to be. Right?
It really is. And don't forget, guys, we're back up on iTunes. You can download the show on iTunes or Planet Paranormal. Just go to our website and click on the link right there. And don't forget, October 19th at 10 p.m. Eastern, Extreme Paranormal will be airing our first show. You definitely want to check it out. And sadly, no show next week, guys. No Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. Go to Chicago and go to the Chicago Ghost Conference because... it's definitely going to be great, and we're really sorry we're going to miss it.
There you go. And be sure to check out our website, guys, at www.ghosteddemon.com and log on to our forums because, hey, we want to hear from you.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, don't go changing, Ghost Hunters. We love you. Good night.
Good night.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like what's where I work. My precious time. I'm working day in, slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just makes me want to say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I can use a beer. I don't need you and I don't need this, I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you wanna get the hell out of here.
Yeah.